at a time like this, being that I'm a family of five, there's myself, my girlfriend, and we have three kids. So, I mean, trying to find a house or a place to go in this city is next to nothing. There's nothing available, at least not for around this price. Everything I looked at, it's double what I'm paying now.
This is Jamie Jabot. He is currently experiencing what many people call a renoviction, a process that involves landlords evicting tenants on the basis of renovation needs.
As one of the residents living in Cumberland Gardens in Cornwall, Ontario, Jamie is among the many families forced to leave the rental units for what he calls minor renovations.
There has been, numerous of renovations that have gone on already long before under the previous owner. For them to say that there's, all kinds of disrepair and stuff like that. No, it's not. It's a little minor things, and it's stuff that can be done while we're still here.
Renovictions are notorious for forcing tenants to terminate their agreements in an often manipulative and unjust manner, using tenant illiteracy in their renting rights to force buyouts and then put their unit back on the market for double or even triple the price. This essentially marginalizes low to middle income renters and eliminates what is left of the affordable renting market.
I have nothing. I have no plans. I have no plans to move. I'm going to stay here and do whatever I can. I have nowhere to go. And it's the same for the majority of people that live here. We're all in the same boat.
This is part 5 of a 6-part series, The Unhoused and the Unprepared, brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative. In this episode, we take a look at the human impact of renovictions and how it parallels a worsening housing crisis. I'm Katya Galati.
And I'm Talha Hashmani. A while ago, I received a report that nearly 100 residents at the Cumberland Gardens, which is an apartment complex in Cornwall, were issued an eviction notice. They had been told to vacate their apartments by June 30th because the owners of the complex wanted to carry out renovations. But these weren't temporary evictions. Rather, individuals who had spent most of their lives in these apartments were now ordered to pack up and move out.
Now, Cornwall is a small city in Ontario, and it lies right on the border with Quebec. This tight-knit community, a nearly 4-hour long drive from Toronto, wouldn't be everyone's first guess at where a homeless and housing crisis could take effect. However, evictions based on renovation purposes is a trend that many tenants are facing across the province of Ontario, and they are often referred to as renovictions.
The Cumberland Gardens eviction notice was first reported on February 27th this year. Since then, tenants took their frustrations out online and began sharing helpful legal tips on how to handle their eviction notices.
Jamie tells us that the stress of having to deal with an eviction keeps him up at night, especially considering that, in his opinion, extensive renovation on his unit is not necessary.
So in the papers, it just mentions that they're it just says like the building has been in disrepair for many years. Therefore, they have no choice to terminate your lease. There has been numerous of renovations that have gone on already long before under the previous owner. So for them to say that, for them to say that there's all kinds of disrepair and stuff like that. No, it's not. It's a little minor things, and it's stuff that can be done while we're still here.
Now, renovictions are not done without a motive in mind. According to Renovictions TO, a volunteer-run project that gives tenants the tools needed to fight back against renovictions, say these types of evictions occur when landlords evict a tenant by claiming they will complete a major renovation. Landlords may give tenants N13 notices or approach them informally, and will often mislead tenants and pressure them to move out. Landlords often engage in these practices to get rid of existing tenants so they can rent apartments at a much higher rate. Sydney Weiss, a member of Renovictions TO, goes into this concept a little further.
The term renoviction is not a legal term that is like referenced in law, but it's been kind of like coined and used by tenants and activists. So essentially, it's kind of talking about evictions on the basis that the landlord wants to make major renovations in the building or unit. But it is kind of a legal clause and loophole that landlords are able to use to push tenants out of buildings so they can essentially flip and renovate the unit and then list it at a higher rent. So the term renoviction isn't the legal binding term for it, but it's essentially landlords using false information or like misleading information under the pretense of the law to evict their tenants.
Jamie says that the notice he received included an N13 and an N9 form. According to the Landlord and Tenant Board, the N9 form is a document that a tenant would need to complete to formally let their landlord know that they will be moving out of the property. The N13, on the other hand, is a notice to end your tenancy because the landlord wants to demolish the rental unit, repair it, or convert it for a different use. In speaking to Jamie, we learned that none of the notices had a signature or stamp of approval from the Landlord and Tenant Board, which is required when properly filing out these types of forms.
As far as I know, these notices, there's no signature from the LTB. So as far as I know, these aren't really eviction notices. They are known to do this. I was in contact with other people from other cities that they've done this to. And we have information being driven to us for the last like few days.
Cumberland Gardens is an apartment complex owned by Bedford Properties, a privately owned residential property management company who is allegedly notorious for renovictions. Kelsey Catherine Schmitz, the secretary and senior policy advisor at United Way Centrade, spoke to us more in depth about this.
Bedford Properties is a Mississauga-based company. And from my quick Google search, is pretty notorious for this type of action across the GTA. And then they found a new playground to play in. A vastly increased rental market with not a lot of availability in our region. And they've learned that game well in Toronto, and they've come to our community to see if they could play it as well.
Justin Towndale, a city councillor at Cornwall, was made aware of the mass eviction in the city after multiple concerned citizens reached out to his office following the N9 forms being handed out. In looking into the situation, Councillor Towndale says he believes that Bedford Properties intended to evict, renovate, and sell the rental units at a higher price.
Yeah, it's without being a lawyer or a legal expert, I mean, I think so. I hope so. I think it really depends. What it'll come down to is, so like in reading the notices, the landlord indicated the reason for the renovations, but they just said, want to renovate like kitchen, bathroom, et cetera, so forth. They never made any reference to any negative factors like mold, bad wiring, asbestos, anything like, or rodent, anything like that. There was no mention of that there. So when it goes to a hearing, they're going to have to prove like, okay, well, what makes it so serious that they can't live there? So they could try to start bringing these items up, but I think they missed their chance to do that because usually you would do that up front to really bolster your case.
However, the Landlord Tenant Board, also known as the LTB, may not be a tenant's best option when it comes to fighting an N13 notice, even though it seems like the most official and obvious. In our conversation with Sydney, we found that the legal representation of tenants compared to landlords is often unproportional, essentially perpetuating the power imbalance tenants feel towards their landlords.
If you look at like data from the LTB, we know that over like near basically like over 90%, around 90% of applications made to the landlord tenant board are by landlords. And I know that a couple of studies have come out looking at like 2018, 2019 data that's showing like 75% of landlords will have legal representation, where like around 3% of tenants will have legal representation. So it's a huge power dynamic and landlords pry on that and they rely on that, and tenants don't know their rights often.
Councillor Towndale says he noticed a tactic that landlords use to persuade tenants to leave their unit without properly assessing all of their legal options.
Because in the cover letter they receive from the landlords, they're offering $4,000 up front to anyone who breaks their lease by the end of April. So they're trying to sweeten the pot by saying, you know, if you leave early, we'll give you an extra $4,000 that you can use how you see fit. But you know, there's a catch there, because so the legal clinic, the local legal aid clinic, held a meeting Tuesday evening for the residents, and I watched it live streamed, and they pointed out, actually it was our social services department, I should say, that pointed out, because they attended in person, that technically that $4,000 would count as income. So there are people in this apartment complex that are on ODSP or Ontario Works or, you know, other types of social assistance. So if they accept that $4,000, they have to technically report it as income, and it would affect what they get from their programs. So, you know, it's like a poison pill, because if you decide to take it, you're going to hurt yourself potentially in the long run. So that's not a good outcome either. So it almost seems like the landlord's letter is trying to mislead people in that sense. At least that's the impression I got. So I wasn't too impressed with that. But I know that the legal clinic is going to be representing as many of the tenants as they're able to take on. And as such, they're going to be requesting hearings from the LTB. So if the LTB is not already kind of tracking this, because now it's got some media attention and it's out there, because you're talking about, like I said, you know, 100 plus people, they're going to know very shortly.
This is a tactic often used by landlords as the attempt to buy out their tenants. However, those who are unaware of their rights may be tempted by the money, not realizing that it may not be the best option.
Initially, they'll usually reach out to tenants individually and kind of pressure them to accept buyouts, to buy them out of their unit instead of having to formally evict them. They'll mislead them and make it seem like this eviction is inevitable. We have to do these renovations, so you are eventually going to have to leave. And sometimes they'll even kind of cite that they're being nice and they're not doing this formally, and they're giving them extra notice, they're giving them extra money, and things like that. But realistically, it's just landlords want tenants to leave and they don't want them to come back into this building.
Despite an uphill battle for the tenants at the Cumberland Gardens, for Sydney, it's when community members band together that they see a higher or greater success.
That's the most success rate that we've seen with fighting against rent evictions and other types of evictions in the city, is getting organized with your neighbors and demanding your landlord drops eviction notices. And that's where we see success. So it's hard to rely on the law. It's hard to rely on policymakers to make these changes. And for those changes, even if they are enacted, to be effective, especially when we're working with fines and finding million-dollar companies that really do not care to lose that kind of money. It's just the cost of business. They don't care about you having access to your house. They don't care about you've lived there for 15 years with your family. This is your home. This is your neighborhood. This is your community. They don't care about those things. They just want to make the most money that they can. And because there isn't really good protections that are going to allow tenants to exercise that right to get back in, it's really impossible to be able to exercise that, because there is no real protections. But there is, like, I know that you have.
To me, I mean, if this is getting out there on the air and for people to hear, I want the government to step in. This has to stop. I mean, Doug Ford mentioned months ago that he was leaving all this rent eviction stuff up to the LTB. Well, what's going on with this? Because there's no way it should take this long to stop landlords from giving the boot to people and basically throwing them out on the street. Like, I just want, you know, people to know that, like, if you're going through this situation, I mean, there's other people that are here with you going through it. And there's always ways of finding out through the grapevine, you know, from other people that have been through this. So we need to all band together and stand up, and we need to push the, you know, the right things to the government to get them to step in and stop all of this.
Thanks for spending time with us and listening to episode 5 of The Unhoused and the Unprepared, a 6-part series produced for the Local Journalism Initiative. I'm your host, Katya Galati.
And I'm Talha Hashmani.